Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnerill, Julie Hayden. It's the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Straight up.
Okay, we'll get to the White House correspondence dinner situation. And you've got some hilarious videos of all of the correspondents like
stealing the wine.
We'll have all the Secret Services arresting an assassination. I'm dealing with assassination attempt. But on Wednesday, I told her there was a lot of things happening within the Colorado Republican Party. And today, when I was hopeful that we'd be able to talk about it today, and indeed we are. And we have Vice Chair Eric Grossman, who's kind of acting as chair now.
He is chair.
Until they elect the new chair.
May 30th.
Joining us. So, Eric, hey, welcome to the show. I know, I appreciate you taking the time, because it's not like you don't have anything going on, huh?
Yeah, I'm just whoop, twiddling my thumbs. Actually, I barely made it on, too. But anyway, good to be here. I'll be happy to stay on as long as you need me to.
Two big things we want to talk to you about. And I'll just real quick. So what Britta Horn did, the outgoing chair, literally hours before her resignation in disgrace was to take effect. She and her personal attorney, Steve Klenda, secretly met with the judge, reached a settlement. They misled the court. They didn't tell the court that Britta was resigning. They didn't tell the court that there were all kinds of disputes over Klenda's hiring and billing. And essentially,
nor did they tell her that Klenda was a personal attorney.
Right. For Britta Horn. They didn't tell them anything, right? They told them that Steve Klenda said the Colorado Republican Party owes me $231,000 plus interest. Britta Horn said, yep, we do, waived all defenses and signed it over. And the bottom line, starting later this week, I think Friday, maybe even earlier, Steve Klenda right now has the legal authority to go in and seize the Colorado Republican Party's bank accounts.
And that any assets, you could take that. Luckily, the party has virtually no assets. But if he did have some assets, he could seize every last one of them.
And keep seizing it until he reached the $231,000.
Which could be decades from now.
Plus, I mean, that would destroy the party. Fortunately, Eric, we've got you, who is doing something vital. Why don't you bring us up to speed on what the party is doing and what the latest is on efforts to prevent Klenda from taking any and all money the Colorado Republican is going to have in the next few years?
Well, for starters, again, thanks for having me. And at the outset, this is a freaking disaster. And it's much bigger than even one person can just take a magic wand and wield. The equivalent to what has happened here, in my opinion, is just like what happened with Joe Biden when the DOJ was trying to say, you know, oh, we got this plea deal and we're going to give you this sweetheart, you know, exit strategy, no jail time. And we're also going to make sure that all your future crimes, don't worry about it. Anything you do in the future is going to be fine. And luckily at the 11th hour, somebody got some smarts, either a clerk or the judge, or somebody actually finally read the pleading and like, wait a minute, we can't agree to this. It's too egregious. Same thing here. This doesn't pass the smell test. Now, we've got to unwrangle that legally, and we're definitely working on that, trust me, very aggressively. But in the meantime, as it stands now, you said it. You know, there was a corporate poison pill given to the party. The party has technically swallowed it. And right now, we're trying to pump out the stomach to at least evaluate where this is at. Is there criminal fraud? Is it illegal? I mean, it doesn't pass the smell test, but at the minimum, it never should have gotten this far. And that's what we're trying to get the judge to stop and put a stay on it so we can gather the evidence and find out what really happened here. But it doesn't look good. And even if there is nothing criminal, it's ethically reprehensible. And talk about burning the party down. It's one thing to burn the party down, but then to leave them in such a financial hole that you can't function, it makes the party unable to even do daily tasks if he wins this case, and he just can't win.
Right. And I mean, and the thing is the way, and Chuck, you're the lawyer, but I guess like you said, the first thing you want to do, and I'm assuming we filed that, right, an injunction to hold this whole thing off so we can get before the judge and say, hey, wait a minute, you were not given all the facts in this case. To me, the fact that Britta would, I mean, they had to have been planning this for a while because this was set in motion. And she waived all defenses. And to say to Klenda, you can have $231,000 plus interest. I mean, that's
what we don't have, but maybe 30,000. I don't know how much.
And he can go in and just take it all unless the judge says,
okay, keep on taking it.
And keep on taking it. I mean, can you even get your head around the fact that Britta would do that, knowing that that would destroy the party?
I think we all thought she was capable of it, but now that we see the situation, I think we're all a little flabbergasted and completely no words to describe how terrible this is. But let's go back in time. I mean, we've got circumstantial evidence that says he brought bills to the party before she even took over. So on day one, she showed up with the bill. That was ethically not correct. And then the entire time we've asked her for an invoice and we've never seen one. The executive committee asked over and over and over and over again for an invoice. Still never saw it. She said she would provide one, never provided it. And even though we have keys to the castle, technically, we still can't get the invoices ourselves. So how does any treasurer, how does any accountant pay something without an invoice? So the whole thing is just rotten.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, the way they handle it, it's not up to us to even pay it. He can just, that's what I keep trying to explain to people. No, this isn't our assets aren't frozen, because that implies it could be unfrozen. He can go in with a writ, which he would be automatically given, and just take the money. We don't have to pay him. He can just take it. He will leave with the check, like the cashier's check or something like that. One of the things too, I kind of want to drill home is to all of these establishment people and the rhinos and our despicable congressional delegation who shoved Britta Horn down our throats. This is on you. I believe this. You may not want to say this, but this is on you too. When you guys have all been busy fighting with the
grassroots
people, okay, your take on all of these people who voted to keep Britta in office.
Look, here's a factual component to this. Everybody knew how bad this was internally. The congressionals knew. They had a conference call back in the fall. Did they let the grassroots or the citizenry or your basic Republican know how bad this was? No. They kept sweeping it under the rug. So they knew for months how terrible this was. They said nothing. So not only did they vote this person in and actively campaign to get this person in, Lauren Boebert ran around on the floor a year and 2 months ago advocating that we all vote for Britta Horn. They all knew and said nothing. So to me, they're complicit in this disaster. They voted for it and they said nothing about the disaster impending. And then how ironic is it that the first thing she did was liquidate assets? We actually own some stuff. She got rid of all of it. There was Facebook posts from the Democrats saying, look, we got all this stuff from the Republican Party. They're giving it away at a fire sale. So she liquidated all the asset and then left $231,000 in debt. I mean, what sane person cannot come to the logical conclusion that they did this on purpose?
Oh, yeah. Well, and we have nothing to say. The $231,000.
To make us ineffectual in the election.
Well, and the $231,000, I mean, for all we know, kind of just, I mean, Matt Arnold, who was a bit on our side representing all of that, what's he billed, $10,000?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So this is just Klunda just made it up. Klunda, this is
I didn't make it up, but I mean, he just, there was no check on it at all. And quite frankly, the Kathleen Chandlers, the Natalie Tennant's, I mean, let's go down the list, our national committee woman. I mean, they're all to blame for this. They're all to blame. And there has to be a reckoning in the party where those to blame have some retribution. But I don't know what that is, when or why. But it's such a shocking, it is so shocking. It really does go beyond any idea you could possibly have. And unfortunately, you know, it's hard to get publicity on that. I know it was on Rhino Watch, but we have right now no kind of PR people, but you would try to get it to Colorado Politics, Colorado Sun, Colorado Times Recorder, which actually is more Republican politics, even though it's a far left publication, and several others. But, you know,
nobody's touching it.
No, well, we haven't sent it out to them, so yeah. You can't touch it unless you send it to them.
Well, but there is the environment of journalistic malpractice. I'll say it. You know, if somebody really wanted to dig down into this, they would, and they don't, because right. There's an establishment narrative that wants to continue to play, which is that we're the ones in the wrong. And it's just astonishing to me. So a lot of the court filings are basically saying to our grassroots that we're going to fight this.
Right.
I am an acting chairman that is not taking no for an answer. The assembly vote on Saturday, the 11th, clearly demonstrated I have the authority to do what I'm doing, and I'm doing it. I'm not going to let these people get me down. I got nothing. nothing to lose at this point. I mean, this whole situation from COVID forward, it's pretty much bankrupted me. So it's personal for me in the sense that this stuff has to change or I got to move somewhere else. But then where do you move to?
Right. Well, let me ask
so
you.
So I'm in the Colorado to fight. I've been here 34 years. This is a righteous fight and I'm going to fight it.
What is the, so that, so we filed motion. So basically where this stands right now, and again, because we're coming up somewhat against a hard deadline. I mean, my guess is that Clenda intends to take the money. Otherwise he wouldn't have bothered to go through all of this. And so we're just kind of waiting to hear what the judge is going to do.
As I understand, Randy filed a motion for stay.
Right. Yeah.
Temporary stay, then a permanent stay, then maybe some other things after that.
So we're just waiting to hear from the judge on that?
Yeah. I mean, you're waiting to hear from the judge. So.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the alternative is to dissolve the Republican Party and start another party. That's your only, if the judge upholds this, that's the only chance, that's the only solution you have. And maybe that'd be a good idea.
Well, let me, any other thoughts on that, Eric? Because I do want to move to the Prop 108 stuff, which is good news. So any other things that you want? I know there's so many things we're in the works right now, but anything else you think you want to make sure that people are aware of or understand?
It's beyond the pale corruption activity. There's just no other logical, sane way to look at it. And again, it's one thing to burn the building down. It's another to leave no money in the bank and a $300,000 debt on top of it so you can't even rebuild the entity. And you leave them in legal limbo so they can't even function. I mean, to me, this was a calculated political campaign to make the Republican Party in Colorado irrelevant. And we're going to fight it to the bitter end because it's what needs to happen. But people need to understand the gravity of what has gone on here. And it is that bad. And keep in mind, we've only been in this for a week. What else are we going to fight? So
well,
we still don't have
point.
Access to all the information. So, I mean, if they're capable of doing this, what else did they do? So stay tuned. We've got a lot of shovels and we're going to keep digging till we get to the truth of it all.
All right. And then let me ask you then too. So meanwhile, also at the same time, you guys have, we have filed a motion with the court asking the court to close the Republican primary this election cycle. What's the latest on that? What can you update us with on that?
Well, so lots of wrangling back and forth. Obviously, we weren't expecting that the congressionals and the NRCC were going to make such a stink about it. So to me, that's another component to this, which is that you have a group of people, and this is a cultural problem, and we have to understand the gravity of the challenges that we've been facing for over two decades, probably in Colorado specifically. Sure. The establishment mentality in government is that it's their property. Like these congressionals strongly come across with the energy that the seat is their property. It's theirs. They're the ones that are going to be disenfranchised. And they have forgotten what civics basically is, that we are a representative republic and they occupy that seat because we allow them to. That's the Republican Party seat. That's not Lauren Boebert's or Crank's or Evans or Hurd's. It's ours. And we have to get back to that mentality that we're not going to allow them to take away our property. We allow them and give them permission. But if you look at the rhetoric that's out there, that's their mentality. And the fact that the NRCC is meddling in Colorado politics should tell everybody that it has been about this issue this entire time. That's why they had Trump derangement. That's why they have Trump derangement syndrome. It's why they had Dave Williams derangement syndrome. And now that they've gone out of their way to put their names to a legal filing and have an attorney represent them, that should tell everybody what they need to know about this fight. And so the long and short of it, to answer your question, there's lots of filings going back and forth. We didn't expect we were going to have to fight their intervening. We're fighting that. But I believe strongly that we're going to win this case. There's some that don't, but I believe strongly in it because there's been too many miracles along the way of the parting of the Red Sea to get us this far. It would seem silly to me to not finish the mission, and we're nose deep in it right now, treading water, but we feel like we're going to come out on top.
And to the people who would say, oh, we can't possibly do that, I would just point out, number one, this is the way we elected Republican candidates for decades up until 2016, back when we actually won. So it's not like this is uncharted territory. Number two, it would be simpler and cheaper. All Jenna Griswold does is mail ballots to Republicans. I mean, that's fewer and everything is easier. And number three, I've said before, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting different results. Since 2016, we've had open primaries and we haven't been winning. We haven't won a statewide seat. Why would we want to keep on doing it? The electeds, the congressionals, they only want to do that because they want to protect the fact that the Americans for Prosperity and other open borders, uniparty establishment billionaires, they want to select the candidates, not the people. And you're right. They're like, hey, we don't want you silly Republican voters picking your candidates. We will tell you who your candidates are going to be.
The know-it-all crowd has gotten away with this for a long time. I call it Lucy in the football. So they come out and say, this is what it's going to take to win. We have to do this, this, and this. And then we lose. And then the next cycle, oh, we're going to do this to win. And then they lose. And now the grassroots has had enough and they say, we want to do it our way, but they're getting in our way. So that should tell you right there that it's about their power. I grew up in the entertainment world. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll are very, very addictive. But what is way more addictive than that is power. And once you get a taste of it, you can't untaste it and you crave it. These people have gotten into a position of power and they're doing everything they can to not let it go. And people need to understand the gravity of the fight. This is a war. And we have to start treating it that way. And, well, and I'm not saying pitchforks and fire, but I am saying in the legal system, we're going to fight them like a battle that we should win on many fronts. And we're doing that.
Well, the RNCC is going supporting Janet Griswold.
Yeah.
In the position of Janet Griswold. Right. That's who they're voting. That's who they're voting.
That's right. That's your You're right. They're on her just, side.
Boom.
The most corrupt
side. They'll be sitting on the other side of the courtroom from the
Republicans.
From Randy Corp and the other one. They'll be over there. Murray, who right. used to be the legal counsel before Clenda, and I guess for Pickett too. And so that tells you, you know, as a practical people, I often hear people say, well, will this help us win more elections? And you go, I don't know, quite frankly, but if you do win an election, it will not be with people who endorse the Dignity Act for illegal aliens. It won't be one in which you'll get an F rating, which is what Barbara Kirkmeyer has. I mean, you have your most prominent Republican in the state legislature getting an F from Libby's scorecard. She is no different than a Democrat. And so, oh, are we going to win more? Well, what good is it if we lose, if we win, but we become Democrats?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
Well,
insane.
It's not like we've been crazy winning anyway. So let me ask you one. Go ahead.
Let me make a quick point, though. We were on a strategy call last night, and somebody reminded me of a point that I made on Saturday, and I forgot that I made it and should be making it more. The equivalent of what our establishment Republicans are doing is basically the same thing that the Democrats did recently, where they said the illegal alien population are our constituents. They're more important than American citizens. What our congressional delegation is doing in this legal fight now is basically saying that unaffiliated voters are more important than Republicans. Then why are we called the Grand Old Party? Why don't you call it the Grand Old Unaffiliateds? They came out publicly on tape. We've got it on an XCOM meeting on April 9th, where they basically made that argument on audio saying that unaffiliated voters are more important and we should worry about not disenfranchising them. Meanwhile, for decades, they keep disenfranchising Republicans, and we got to put a stop to that. And we got to also understand the culture that we can't allow them to do this anymore. We've got to stand up and rise up and say enough is enough. We can't take it anymore, and we're not going to have it.
Let me ask
Johnny Johnson is a great guy, is sending this text. Then will it just send out mailings to Democrats and independents only after June 30th, with only Dems names who are running and no Republicans, and will still pay for ads for Dems. Sending out a primary to a person does not make them vote that way in the general. Virginia they went back and they said, okay, we're going to have a Republican only ballot. And the governor then, is not the president, was a woman who was a Democrat, crushed the Democrats. It is of no effect to a voter, which, you know, okay, you receive a Democratic primary vote. That doesn't make you a Democrat. And if you already are one, sure. But if you're all of a sudden, I don't care if they can send all they want. As a practical matter, they got tens of millions to send tens of money. The most important thing on that call the other night was, and I forget her name, I guess she's from Arapahoe County.
Maddie McKiernan?
McKiernan said that 27,000 people in Arapahoe County asking for a Republican primary ballot for that special election, 10,000 of them were people who also asked for Democratic primary voting, meaning they're Democrats. So you had 10,000 people out of 27. I mean, that's a huge percentage of the vote was from committed Democrats.
So then you got to wonder why, right? That's the meddling we're talking about. Yeah.
Let's go into their primaries and elect them either the most unelectable or more, you know, let's say the biggest one closest to a Democrat. And so that we keep on wanting to do this is just you might as well not have a party, which is what the establishment wants. They don't want it. They want to have jungle primaries, so only they can determine. There's no speeches in front of small groups or anything else. It's just massive mailers that Phil Anschutz and Soros and everybody else can send out. You don't even know who the candidates are. And if somebody gets in the way, like out in California, it looked like Swalwell was taking up too much of the vote, they destroy him. Out he goes. That's what you'll get. You'll get California primaries. And the last thing you want to do is emulate the Golden
California
State.
Eric, let me ask you this too, and then we'll let you go because I know I can see people handing you notes. And you
guys. Well, it's my phone going off. There's a lot of legal. There's a lot of legal wrangling going on. We're trying to find some people to give testimony, expert this, expert that. So it's set up to sundown.
One final question for you, because this has been driving me crazy. I see a lot of people you are literally trying to save the party from extinction this week. Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's the bottom
line. Accurate. That's very
and
accurate.
People want to argue about the bylaws and 3 days difference in electing.
Well, it should be Thursday or Saturday. You kind of go because Thursday would eliminate tons of people.
To me, it's like.
And you can do on certain theories come up with it Saturday. But all they want to fight about it. They just want to destroy themselves. They want to destroy the party because they want to follow whatever rules helps Democrats. I don't think it's intentional. But they're so used to losing. They love losing. They love bitching and moaning about that the six people who are appointed by the chairman were replaced. And I was one of the replacements. But without that, you can't have votes to fire Clenda. You can't have votes to do all the things we need to do. And all they're worrying, I'm not sure that word, what does that word mean?
So I just want to give you an opportunity.
Let me finish. And we need them to be on the other side. You know, we need to get them on the other side so they can tank whatever side they're on.
Well, here's the bottom line. They're not reading the tea leaves in the room.
Yeah.
It was the same thing in 2016 when Trump ran. You know, I stood there on the convention floor at the World Arena. And everybody was goo goo gaga for Ted Cruz. I'm not here to badmouth Ted Cruz, but the bottom line was in that election cycle, a new movement was coming alive, and it was the Donald J. Trump movement. And I looked around, and nobody was cheering for Stephen Miller, who gave Trump's speech at that convention, and they weren't reading the tea leaves in the room. Same thing here. These people got thoroughly censured on Saturday the 11th, giving me complete authority to chase this mission. And this mission I've accepted and I'm doing it. And at the end of the day, the 3 days, they can argue about it all they want to. The body clearly said they wanted somebody to finally do their bidding and do what the voters want. And I'm going to fulfill that. And it's going to take 3 extra days. So we come up with an idea to make or a process and procedure to make that happen by having the XCOM declare a vacancy. And the meeting is going to be on the 30th. I mean, we're not going to have it Memorial Day weekend. And they want, and then the weekend before that is the 16th. Well, the mission is not going to be concluded by the 16th. And again, I was given the authority to do that mission, and the people entrusted me with that, and I'm going to fulfill that. So they can fight all they want to. The bottom line was the assembly was overwhelmingly clear in their direction on what I should be doing. And that's how I'm leading. And I'm going to do that until the next chair is elected on the 30th.
All right, Eric, thank you. Feel free to keep us posted. Yeah, I know you've got, because I mean, a lot is happening this week. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all that you were doing. Take care.
The last quick thing is don't lose the belief.
Right.
We have to believe we're going to win this. And I think that's part of the cultural problem, too, of our Republican Party is not only have we lost the ability to win and know what it feels like winning, but we cancel our own prayers sometimes. And we got to make sure that we believe that we can win this. The wind is in our backs. It's in our sails. We're going to win this. Believe it and stay tuned. We're going to make it happen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That was great. That gave me goosebumps. So thank you, Eric. All right. Eric Grossman, acting chair. And I just, because there's tons of stuff to talk about, but again, you know, you're the lawyer and talking about this. I mean, I think the level of just corruption and fraud that Britta and Clinda,
in my opinion, it is criminal fraud. It's no different than an attorney stealing from a trust account. Except you got an insider who's been your personal friend, and you get together and you rape all the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, it's
astonishing. Like I said, they clearly plotted it. And again, just hours before Britta was leaving office, they go before a judge and Britta agrees that the party owes Steve Clenda $231,000 plus interest, 18% interest. And you said the normal in cases like this is what's the normal?
Statutory rate is 8, I think, right now.
Yeah. So they add 10%. Britta says, okay, that's okay with me. They don't tell the judge that they don't go to a judge who's familiar with all of the issues. Britta,
and there was another case. And so they avoided that one.
Right.
It was already there.
That's right. There's another case ongoing in front of a judge.
In Denver County.
That already understands all of this stuff. So they intentionally get a judge and file before a judge who doesn't know anything. Britta says, sure, you can do all that. And so what the party has, you're saying, you know, I've heard you talk with other lawyers about this, and you're saying you would be surprised, or I've heard others say they would be surprised if Clenda has a law license after all this comes out. What do you think of that?
He's certainly in danger. You know, he already has
and
five and six. Well, you know, if you believe your lawyers acted unethically or done something wrong, criminal or otherwise, there is a process before the Supreme Court, attorney regulation, and you file an ethics complaint. They look at it, and 90% of them are thrown out. 90% of them, they say, no, we're not going to take it. 10%, they say, okay, we're going to do further investigation. Now, as a practical matter, what's happened is there are so many complaints about Clenda before that the court had already said, no, this is worth having an investigation. With this new one in, I just don't see how Clenda survives. But, you know, you never know. Courts
are courts. No, and that becomes a tricky thing. And that's why I wish the people who are griping about the 3-day deadline for electing will have a new chair, you know, by the 1st of June. Right. And so just everybody calm down. Eric right now is again, this cannot be overstated. Right now, Steve Clenda can go in Friday and get a bank get the bank to give him all of the money in the Colorado Republican Party bank account. So what these people don't get is if that happens, if Eric can't stop that and our attorneys can't stop that, there will not be a meeting to elect a chair. There's not going to be any money to pay for a meeting, right? There's not going to be any money to pay for the internet for the Zoom calls. I mean, they need to get that. It's like and instead they want to be like, well, bylaw 3.2.7 says it's like
parenthetical 3.
Right. And it's like, hello, it's sort of like they're arguing about who's going to be, you know, steering the sinking boat or casting the sinking boat. It's like, first let's bail the boat out and make sure that we stay afloat. And on Prop 108, that's coming up too. So all kinds of things are happening there. And it's just, it's hard to believe. And I think I agree with you that these establishment rhino people who shoved Britta down our throats, because I'm curious as to who all knew what Britta and Clenda were up to, right?
Not many.
No.
They wouldn't have spread that one.
No, well, no.
If you're robbing a bank, you don't go all around.
Yeah, that's true. But as Eric pointed out, they knew back in the fall how bad the situation was with Britta, and they didn't say anything. And instead, they smacked down and derided and any attempt for anyone to question, they stood by her. And it's like, and this is what you got, guys. So, hey, thanks for nothing. Let me read. Jacob is talking about AOC getting primate in New York and about the Virginia stuff. The RNC has over $100 million. Yeah, the RNC is bringing the money in, for sure, right? But they are betraying us here. And again, keep in mind, once again, you know, follow the money. That's where all the giant donors and things are. So,
right.
So anyway, we will keep you posted on that. And again, to any one of these people who is griping about the 3-day,
well, it should be anybody who was a big backer of Britain, and that includes Natalie Tennant. And if she endorses somebody, and I think she has
For
for
cheer.
new chair, I mean, you have to go, whoa, yo, Shauna Black, another one. Whoa, she endorses somebody. The National Committee woman,
Christy Fedora.
Christy Fedora. If she endorses someone, you should go, no.
Yeah, take a call. Yeah, that race
But
is going
take
to
a
be.
close look, see who else is endorsing the person.
Now, want to switch over to the assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I understand that Cole Allen was charged today with attempting to assassinate the president and with firing discharging a weapon. One interesting thing I noticed, he was not charged in connection with, we know a Secret Service man was hit, a Secret Service agent was hit and not injured. The bulletproof vest saved his life. But he was not charged with that,
Well, they'll get
which
arrested.
makes,
You
well,
always think it's superseding it. He'll have so many charges
but let me,
against him.
I'm just going to throw out a conspiracy theory, which makes me just wonder, and I think I don't want to get bogged down in this because it's not the point at all, whether maybe there was a friendly fire kind of thing. I don't know.
Oh, come on,
Okay,
Jane.
okay,
That's
okay.
really
But
bad.
what I,
That
what,
is really bad.
okay. I'm just saying that was out there. I think that there's a lot to be talked about security-wise, right? We've heard over and over from people who were there. I mean, and the
They checked
suspect,
nothing.
yeah, and the
They didn't
suspect.
check purses, they didn't check bags, they checked nothing.
The suspect himself talked about the complete lack of
Security.
security. He was saying, he said it was insane, the lack of security. He said no one thought that somebody could check in a day ahead of time and carry all this
Oh,
stuff.
it's too advanced thinking.
And I don't understand. They had, and hopefully this will change. I get that they had very tight security sort of inside the ballroom.
Well, you can't if you're not checking anybody's purses or bags. That inside the ballroom doing any good, you just reach into your bag and boom.
Well, no, they were checking the bags as they went into the ballroom, but there was no security, no checking,
Oh,
no
I see.
anything in the area. But like, as we saw, is this guy just kind of like ran through it? If he had got through, or if what if, as he pointed out, the suspect himself pointed out, what if I had a bomb or something much more explosive, right? I could have just, and because it was, I can't believe they didn't do a sweep. He assembled it in this little room off in a corner, like right off, he put all the pieces there right off in the lobby. It was like, hopefully, you know, that yes, the secret, I think two things, I think Bill Malusian pointed this out, two things could be true at the same time. Did the Secret Service seem to do a very good job once they knew there was a threat and getting everybody to safety? Yes. Number two, though, they did not seem to
Well,
do a
I'm not sure
particularly good
that's it.
job.
Just, they
Yeah.
just emptied a ballroom, and that's not hard. I mean, whoo-wee,
Yeah.
great job.
Yeah, the threat
You
was
emptied the
down.
ballroom.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's astonishing that they wouldn't have had more security because, you know, yes, maybe they could have caught if I was trying to smuggle a gun in my purse, but if I had a bomb that I was just happy to detonate in the middle of the lobby, there was nothing to stop that. We'll get to a serious thing here, but I wanted to show you this too.
Jacob says Reagan was shot at the same
Yeah, that's
hotel.
right, it is the same
You'd think they
hotel.
would learn. No, they don't.
No, even Hinckley, they had an interview with John Hinckley Jr. saying, it's kind of shocking that they didn't have more security. It's like, so if John Hinckley Jr., it's, I
They
don't
need to
know.
hire him as a consultant.
Well, it, yeah.
Get rid of some of the DEI hires they apparently have in the.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll think of this next time. And again, it adds fuel to Trump's assertion that we need to, let's have a White House ballroom. So when we have these kind of
Jacob
big
said,
events,
build the ballroom.
yeah, exactly. I think the DOJ has already filed to have that dismissed, saying this in
Yeah,
one of,
but the National Trust who filed it said no.
Yeah, well, but I think they refiled the motion with the judge saying one of the reasons he cited was no evidence it was necessary. It's like, well, here there is. What I found, this is kind of funny. We'll play this video for you. So while the Secret Service is dealing with an attempted assassination, while the suspect is laying on the floor out in the sort of the foyer area, the reporters, once they got off the floor and realized, okay, they weren't going to be shot,
Found the loot.
immediately proceeded looting, exactly, Chuck, looting the place, stealing, well, I don't know what you'd call it stealing, certainly taking the wine. So Jacob, so just watch this video. Jacob, if we could play the winos video. So what you have here, if you're just listening, there's no audio. You've got reporters taking selfies of themselves holding up bottles of wine. The fur coat comes, takes one, takes two bottles of wine. It's like
Don't let him hear.
I mean,
Guns.
it's It says something, you know. I don't know what it just says something about the complete lack of. Oh well, you know. Yeah, and as Jacob points out, the Secret Service hasn't been paid in 7 months. Hopefully, they'll address that too. I don't know. You know, there was some talk about will this bring unity?
No, no.
I don't. But I mean, I think you look at the reporters taking the wine, and that sort of says.
That brings some unity.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think so either. I think. Well, and for this, we'll play the Norah O'Donnell. CBS yes. 60 Minutes. We've got this where right hours after this happened, right? She starts attacking Trump. So Thomas, if we could please play the Trump soundbite.
He appears to reference a motive in it. He writes this quote, administration officials, they are targets. And he also wrote this, I'm no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. What's your reaction
to
that?
Well, I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I got associated with all stuff that has nothing to do with me. I was totally exonerated. Your friends on the other side of the plate are the ones that were involved with, let's say, Epstein or other things. But I said to myself, you know, I'll do this interview and they'll probably, I read the manifesto, you know, he's a sick person, but you should be ashamed of yourself reading that because I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I
these
was
are
never,
the
excuse
gunman's
me,
words.
Excuse me. You shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace, but go ahead, let's finish the interview.
The other thing that he wrote in
you're
the
disgraceful.
I mean, good for him, right? And because here's the thing that the shooter referenced some of the three big lies that the Democrats keep pointing out. That one, Trump is a pedophile. That's referring to the Epstein thing, where the evidence is there was no evidence that
Trump had
anything to do with Epstein. In fact, the Democrats did, right? The rapist comes with the E. Jean Carroll thing, in which he was a joke and exonerated.
No, he wasn't exonerated. He was convicted.
Well,
or at least. Made to pay civilly.
Made to pay, yeah. And then, but there was no evidence that he raped her. Right. And then the traitor is the Russia hoax.
Yeah.
So the shooter referenced the three lies that the Democrats say over and over and over. And
they forgot the Charlottesville hoax where he said there's people on both sides.
You know? Yeah, they have to drop that after the Southern Poverty, we find out the Southern Poverty Law Center paid for
running
that.
The whole thing.
Yeah, it was running the whole thing. But that's what he referenced as his reasons for shooting Trump or trying to shoot Trump, right?
Yeah.
And so she goes ahead and she intentionally, like he said, I knew you were going to read those.
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, you think he was talking
about
you?
You know what? We didn't think that. We thought it was probably Marco Rubio.
So I'm glad to see him go after him. I'm glad to see Melania Trump go after Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, he was disgusting.
Who was
what a disgusting comment.
Right, who was saying, oh, that she's a widow in waiting, as if somehow that's funny.
Got the glow of a
yeah.
Expected widow.
And I think people are saying to Barry Weiss is now running CBS. What do you do? Until you get rid of a Norah O'Donnell, it's not going to change. Until you have people who somehow, you know, think that it's okay to intentionally use these words so you can accuse Trump of that and make him say, oh, I'm not a rapist, I'm not this. Which is, had you know, I mean, of all the things going on, that was the guy's manifesto. It clearly, like Trump said, it's a sick person who bought the Democrat lies. And Byron York had an interesting article. I mean, he said, these are the lies that they tell over and over and over.
They come true.
And there are plenty of people out there, clearly, who believe so strongly that they are true, that he said he wanted to go in and shoot
everybody.
Could
do a poll. You could do a poll, and a majority of Democrats would agree with the manifesto.
Yeah, that it's true, right?
Yeah.
And as Jacob says, Hakeem Jeffries has said worse things than Jimmy Kimmel. Cory Booker does not want a Michigan hand. He wants a Michigan fist. I think all these reporters should be called in and see if there is a conspiracy going on. Senator Schumer threatened Kavanaugh. And then Johnny Johnson, maybe the Southern Poverty Law Center can pay the reporters to tell the truth.
Yeah, there they are.
Well, yeah, you got to wonder about that. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, I'm a big believer in free speech and all of that, but I think it has to be recognized that the lies and that Norah O'Donnell used another occasion to report to repeat the lies are doing serious damage and people are getting hurt. People could have been hurt.
Limit free speech.
No, get rid of Norah O'Donnell. And and I mean, you know, for some of the owners to at least develop a degree of journalistic
free
integrity.
Free speech means your government can't restrict it. It doesn't mean private industry has to kind of go, oh, it's okay. Nora, say whatever you want. I mean, they can be fired anytime they want to.
Well, it goes back to the Trump derangement syndrome, right? The end justifies the means.
Yeah.
But like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay, if we have to pay the KKK in order to get people to donate to us and to riot against Trump, that's all right with us.
Yeah, we'll plan the Charlottesville.
Right, and if somebody gets killed.
I bet you they made tens of millions from that. Tens of millions.
Oh, yeah, they did. I mean, I talked about that the other day. They went from like $15 million. They increased their take by 81 million. No. Yeah, well, now all of it is in offshore bank accounts. So anyway, that was anything else you wanted to. Well, we'll be keeping everybody up to date and posted on the ongoings in the Colorado Republican Party because certain things have to happen this week. Right. And you anticipate the judge. Well, you're never optimistic about anything, but you are optimistic that the judge.
You know, I am optimistic about some things.
Well, I know, but I mean,
when it's entitled to be optimistic. I am optimistic, though not 100%, because there's nothing in 100% for law. The judge will vacate the one and it'll bring them back in. And I think he'll probably read the Riot Act to both of them.
Both Horn and Clenda.
Yeah, Clenda and Tech, who also joined him as the treasurer. So I think that has a huge coming up. I mean, you know, the likelihood the judge will grant the
closing the primary for this section.
Primary, you know, you have to, if you're a lawyer, kind of go, what are the odds? And the odds, I think it's worth, I was very much behind the effort to get it in front of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't have a chance.
The judge opened the door.
Yeah, but you can't just go, we'll win. I mean, you've got to kind of go, okay, if we don't win, we'll go, don't win. Then we're taking the whole thing, where they only found a portion of it, up to the 10th Circuit. That's
right.
And if the judge rules against us in the 108, big deal. I mean, you got to prepare people kind of going, okay, but we got it in front of them and now we're rolling. I mean,
the door remains open.
Yeah, the door remains open. So you got to, I did contingency work. You had to figure, okay, how much chance do I have to win? How much chance do I have to collect? And if you were bad about that, you're a bankrupt lawyer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh.
Okay. So we will see you. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, to Eric Grossman. We will be keeping you posted. Stay tuned on Wednesday because I'm pretty sure that we should have some information from the judge, or at least a direction on one of the two cases. So in the meantime, thank you to everybody, and we'll see you all on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.